Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers 23. Today is Friday, October 23rd, 2020, and this is episode 204 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that knows you have been deceived. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing and awesome producer and editor, Mike.
I can't be deceived. I've been wearing my glasses.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hello. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. And your support helps keep the show going. If you'd like to become a Donatrion, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And you can find links on Patreon and PayPal to help support us. You can also buy merchandise from our Tee Public store at transmissionspodcast.com/shop and check out our friend K-Girl store at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. If you buy any merchandise from Tee Public through our link, that helps us out, and especially our own t-shirt designs and other masks and other merchandise you can all pick up at Tee Public. Just a reminder, we've got the October Toy Hacks gift code giveaway that is coming up very soon at the end of the month. You have until Sunday, October 25th to get your entries in. If you are already a Donatrion, don't need to worry. You are automatically entered. But if you are not a Donatrion, send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com and send us a picture of the Transformers toy you would like to get stickers with your Toy Hacks gift code, and you will be entered into our drawing. This month is special because you've got double the prize. So one of our previous winners of the Toy Hacks gift code wanted to donate their prize to a future winner. So their $10 is adding to the $10 that Toy Hacks is already giving us for this month. So you've got a $20 gift code coming your way from going to one lucky winner this month. So it's a good idea to get your entries in or just become a Donatrion. That's the easy way. And before we get into our comics talk, want to remind you that Empire of Rust, the live play Transformers RPG, is having episode 35 this Monday, A Trio of Triple Changers. So this is going to be out this Monday, October 26th, in just a couple of days. Mike, I'm assuming there's going to be triple changers in this episode.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Maybe a trio of them. Yes, this is going to be the first episode of Chapter 4. And we talk about the level up for our guys. We get started on a new chapter to the story, and just overall, it's very kind of very cinematic. I like it. I like it a lot.
Cool. Looking forward to it. So everyone, check out Empire of Rust at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Of course, if you already subscribe to the main Transmissions feed, you will get all the Empire of Rust episodes delivered to you automatically. So you should definitely do that. All right, let's get into the show. We don't have any comics news this week, so I think we're going to jump right into our review.
All right, we are reviewing Transformers number 23. This is the Rise of the Decepticons arc, and the issue title is We Have Deceived You, written by Brian Ruckley. Art by Anna Malkova, colors by Joanna LaFuente, letters by J.K.M. Wood, editor is David Mariette and Tom Waltz, and assistant editor is Riley Farmer. We have three covers. Cover one has Megatron posing in front of the Senate. This is by Joanna LaFuente. cover B has Megatron and his spies casting an imposing shadow forms of the Decepticon logo. This is by Aline Baumgartner. And Retailer Incentive has Megatron and Stryker against Brawn and Ironhide in a kind of an animated style. And this is by Corey Lewis. So, Mike, let's start with you. Which one of the three do you like?
I think I'm going to go with Joanna LaFuente's cover first, because that is, I think, the best composed, nice lighting to it, a very kind of imposing, iconic kind of look to it. And the whole thing with Megatron with the Decepticon symbol posed right in front of the big Autobot symbol. Very, very nice. I like the artwork on the other ones too, but I think that that's going to be my pick.
Yeah. Well, I really wish that the text of the logo wouldn't cover up the Autobot logo there.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. All right. Daryl, how about you?
I think I'm probably going to be agreeing with Mike this week. That cover A is probably the best rendered out of all of them. I do like to see new artists every now and then get a shot on covers. And it's nice to see these new artists put their work out here. I just think that Joanna's is probably the best out of the three here.
Cool. Charles, how about you?
I really like the cover by Aline Hertzplatter Baumgartner. So I think she's well-known fan artist, and getting their getting some professional work now. And I like the shadow, Decepticon symbol shadow, and then all the cassette minions flanking Megatron. I think that's a cool image.
Cool.
I gotta say, I don't think Megatron would allow Rat-Bat to sit on his head. Shoulder, yes. Arm, yes. Backpack, yes. Top of head, no.
You know what bats do when they sit there, right?
Bat guano.
His head.
Yeah.
His head is gonna be covered.
I still think it's a cool image.
Yeah.
If that was Soundwave, I could totally agree with that.
Although this goes in with the story. But I think I will agree with Daryl and Mike. The cover A would be the one. Although I really liked all the covers. But cover A is the one that I think, like Mike said, it's kind of the most well-composed, and I don't know, it applies most directly to the story. All right, into the summary here. Sentinel Prime is convening the Senate without Megatron. This has put more pressure on the situation that's already about to burst. Inside the Senate, Ironhide updates the guards on their duties, while outside, the security forces are struggling to keep the populace in line. Andromeda is interviewing Vox Pop, her favorite bot on the street, until Prowl breaks up the interview. Right as Megatron, Stryker, and Rat-Bat part the crowd and attempt to enter the building, Orion stands at the door, and as Megatron approaches, he demands to be let in. Megatron's still an elected senator, and he has that right, but Orion tries to get Megatron to de-escalate the situation. Megatron disagrees with Orion. Chaos is necessary if no other change works. Orion gives a last warning to his old friend. If he keeps on this path, his message will be the same as what he accuses Sentinel of. Megatron shrugs this off and heads inside, saying that Orion should have stayed an archivist. Orion heads inside with Groove and Flare Up to keep an eye on the situation. Once the Senate convenes and Sentinel Prime starts into a speech against the Decepticons, Megatron bursts through the chambers. He demands to be able to address these charges. Prison cell inside security operations. Bumblebee is trying to ignore Starscream. The head of intelligence knows that something is going to happen today, and he wants to see if Bumblebee is willing to be his ally in what is to happen. Bumblebee stays silent. Outside the Senate building, Cyclone asks Prowl if he's seen Chromia. Prowl has more important things to deal with at the moment, and he tells Cyclonus to leave. Cyclonus and the ghosts that are following him do, but it seems like the ghosts think that his fight might be here. Orion, Flare Up, and Groove arrive in the Senate chambers just after Megatron and see him begin to speak. However, he's not addressing the charges. He's levying his own against the Autobots and Sentinel Prime. He's blaming them for the civil uprisings, the loss of the moon, and the increased rationing of Energon. Sentinel might have called the Ascenticons Decepticons as a slur, but Megatron says it's fitting. The Ascenticons have deceived the planet. They've hidden their desire for change and said they work inside the system, but in reality, they've done what the Autobots have been unable to do. The Rise have surrendered to the Decepticons, something that the Senate was unable to do, and if they couldn't do that, what else are they unable to do? Then he announces that today is the end of the Senate as this attack begins. Outside, Runabout, Runamuck, Clinch, and Apeface take out Pipes and Chainclaw and enter the Senate chambers through a side door. While Acid Storm uses his powers and rains down acid to weaken the roof, then he, Ion Storm, and Nova Storm burst through. Strika tackles Sentinel Prime, and Ion Storm uses his special ability of EMP Blast to incapacitate the senators. Clinch then ejects cassette troops to take out the remaining guards. In one quick attack, the Senate is taken, just as Megatron promised. He orders Strika to go outside and tell Cybertron. Outside, Strika activates some projectors that display the Decepticon insignia and announces that the planet's crisis is over. Megatron has taken the Senate, and the Decepticons are here to open the way. That is the issue, and I felt like it was a nice conclusion, or I guess conclusion to this first kind of bit, and then leading into the next. Lots of action I enjoyed, but I think I'm enjoying this Megatron as we get more and more of him. I liked seeing this new kind of way of deploying the cassette bots through Clinch. I wasn't expecting that at all. And I'm hoping that this is leading from kind of more world building and more kind of, I guess, world destroying and more action. I thought for the most part the art was good. Didn't seem too many complaints. It was a little bit of a cartoony style in places, but I thought it was fine. Daryl, what do you think? Did you get enough action?
Well, I mean, I was hesitant for a little while there because I thought this thing started off really slow, and all of the the political positioning and posturing at the first half of the book was a lot of stuff that I don't like. And once everything all went to hell, I was really into it. Then, can't remember his name, the truck trailer guy with the cassette trailer. Yeah. That was
Clinch.
Yeah. That was awesome. I thought that was an amazing, way to launch cassette bots, a lot of them all at once. That was, I really enjoyed that panel. I thought that was fantastic. The fight was great. Everyone's just kind of getting taken out, and these security guards, I mean, they're not Autobots, they're just kind of, security forces. They're not prepared, and you can definitely tell by the way it's drawn and written that these guys really have no clue what the hell's going on. They're basically there to be bouncers and to just kind of push back an overzealous crowd. They're not there to take out or challenge any kind of, organized militia. So, when this all goes sideways, they are in real trouble. So yeah, I like the way that it kind of, went to hell. I'm all for this thing kind of getting ramped up, a notch, maybe two, which, with issue, what is this, issue 24?
23.
Is that next? Or
this is 23.
So issue 24. Yeah. Next one. I'm looking forward to it being a lot more actiony. That's what I want.
Cool. Mike, what were your thoughts on this?
I really, unlike Daryl, I really do like the political kind of machinations of stuff. And I do like seeing kind of like the world building of this. If this was an issue just of world building, I would have no problem with that, or just of political posturing. But it's not. It's about half and half. And I really do like the tension that kind of happens for it. It does feel like a pivotal moment. And I think the combat at the halfway point really did need that kind of like build up to it, because it really did feel like it was like an important moment. Like it was a turning point. And if they just did that at the beginning of the issue or near the end of the issue, I think it would have lost its impact. But with that build up, I think it actually worked out pretty well. I love that. Mm-hmm. Artwork. It's not bad. I mean, the actual characters are decent. I think the backgrounds are very simplistic and flat at times. So, but that's also coming from someone who has never made a comic book before. So, you know.
yeah.
So, but overall, though, I think it's a very good story. I think is that, again, that very good kind of turning point, that it feels very epic and very important. I like that. It works for me.
Cool. And Charles, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed this issue, and I like the way the tension built from the beginning and then exploded in the middle. I think this is, you know, this is, it took us 23 issues, but I think I like the way the story built up here. I mean, this particular arc, the Rise of the Decepticons arc, the last five issues or so, I think have been really good, have been a really a turning point, a ramping up, and I hope it continues. And I like how this Megatron, it's distinct from the Megatron we had from the previous IDW continuity, and I like how the different spin that Brian Ruckley put on this Megatron. Like, you know, the previous IDW talked about, you know, taking the name Decepticons from trying to tell the public you're being deceived by the government and you shouldn't let them fool you. But here they turn it around. It's like, no, we're Decepticons because we deceived you into thinking that we would be complacent. And no, we're not complacent. We're ready for a revolution. Of course it has a double meaning, because he didn't mention that he's deceived them because he's actually been controlling both the Decepticons and the Rise the whole time, and he engineered all the disastrous events that he blames the Autobots for. That's another level of deception. He didn't mention that part, but you know, as the readers, we all see that. So I like how we have that double meaning there. Yeah, I mean, I thought the artwork was really good. I think all the characters are really nicely well drawn and colored. They all pop. I think Joanna LaFuente's coloring really does a service to all the characters. I think Anna Malkova's style of rendering all these characters is really nice. She gets expressiveness and action poses and everything done really well. I like the two-page, I mean, it wasn't like a spread for the whole comic, but it was like, it spread over two pages, several panels, where you have, especially with Orion Pax seeing the acid dropping on him, and then the Rainmakers coming in and blowing everyone away. I mean, I don't think they killed anyone, but that was one thing that was interesting. Like, you tend to think of the Decepticons as pretty ruthless and violent, but here it looks like they've been pretty restrained. Like, they don't go in and kill much of anybody in this book. Like, it's all kind of a bloodless revolution. At least they're trying to make it seem that way. So I thought that was interesting. Megatron showing some uncharacteristic restraint here. And Orion Pax warning him that, you know, as he ratchets up the violence, he can't get away from that. The one thing I am missing here, and I'm waiting for it to happen, is for Optimus Prime to stop being so react, or not op, I keep calling him that. He's Orion Pax, he's not Optimus Prime yet.
Yeah.
But I want him to do something. He's so reactive. He just, you know, he's like He doesn't have his own, like, he doesn't have a plan he puts in place. He doesn't really have any strategy to counter what Megatron and the Decepticons are doing. It's just he waits for events to happen and then reacts to them. And of course, he reacts kind of poorly because he's always a step behind. So I hope, like, after we've got to the point now, we're at the point of no return where the Decepticons are declaring themselves, and now the Autobot Decepticon war is going to kick off pretty soon. I hope we get an active Optimus Prime that actually tries to form a strategy to counter what Megatron is doing and fight back and, you know, be a little bit more heroic. I hope that
maybe that's actually named Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that would be nice too. So I can stop correcting myself every time.
So a question, what did Ion Storm actually do? Because you saw him kind of like blow up. You saw like all the senators and like everyone in the gallery kind of being blasted back. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't show anything else aside from like the one shot. It looks like they're all dead and their bodies are just kind of strewn across the gallery.
I think he has a talent that does this blast that disables, like, does like an ion pulse or something.
Yeah, I think
I think he was just flying around the room doing that.
I think he just overloaded them, like, knocked them offline. I think basically I think the point is that Megatron's taken the whole Senate hostage, that because he's after he kicked all the guards out there, he sealed them inside. So I think he's trying to take over the government by basically holding all the senators hostage. That's my guess, because Optimus or Orion is still in there with them. So I guess, you know, Orion and all the other senators are trapped in there.
Hmm.
So, and unfortunately,
it seems to be a little bit of an untenable situation for Megatron, though. I mean, sure, he's got the. It seems like, I mean, granted, there was apparently a lot of planning that like went into this, but with the forces he's had, he's just captured the Senate building and all the senators. Does he intend on holding it? Like, I'm not quite certain what his end game is for this particular action.
I mean, yeah, I would just be speculating, but my guess is that he believes that he's made the situation, like the popular situation, so much that if the people don't have confidence in the Senate, he can make his case that he's going directly to the people. Like he's yeah. overthrowing the Senate and saying, okay, now we're going to show you how we can actually lead you to a better future. And if the populace is willing to accept that, he can basically steamroll over the Senate and dissolve them, basically. You know.
Yeah, and he's already in control of the PR war.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Sure. All right.
Although, one thing I will say, since it looks like this is the end of the Rise of the Decepticons arc, so I think the next issue is going to be another one-off. It looks like we're going to check in on Wheeljack and all the people trapped on the moon that's spiraling off into space. So I think, unfortunately, we're going to get a break issue next issue. So Daryl, they're not going to continue this until issue 25. So,
well, that seems unfortunate. To be how things go.
But yeah, I think 25 is actually the issue that's something big is supposed to happen there. But hopefully, it comes pretty quickly.
Only took 2 years.
Well, year and a half. They were shipping twice a month for a while there.
It's a good build up there, Daryl. Get your political thriller on. Come on.
It's too much.
A long game.
Too much going on in the real world for political books right now.
Hmm. That's a legit argument. I'll accept that.
All right, Jeremy, we got to hear your thoughts.
I gave my thoughts at the end of the summer.
That's right. Sorry. Never mind. So anyway, cut that out.
Yeah, I am disappointed that the next issue is not going to continue this exact, you know, this story. That's my biggest issue, I think, with this right now, is just all the pacing stops and starts mm-hmm. and stuff. This is like the perfect opportunity to take advantage of this, continue this story. Wheeljack should have been kind of a galaxy story, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that is the comic review.
All right. Normally we would move on to media news, but it looks like we don't have any media news this week either. So, Daryl, you're off the hook.
Woohoo! Very slow week. Very slow week media news-wise and comic otherwise news. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, it's got that huge dump of info from the toys, so it's kind of its thing right now.
And New York Comic Con, you know,
yeah,
the announcements from
generally
there,
not about comics anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the lull after a big news dump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to convention news.
Well, we got some news here. TFCon Online is this weekend, Saturday, October 24th, tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern. We have an interview with Simon Furman that is a part of TFCon Online. So be sure to check that out. We'll have a link in the show note. If you're listening to this early, you can set a reminder on YouTube and it'll let you know when it starts. Although being on YouTube, you can watch it whenever. And we also have some news about commissions. Casey Collar is doing some commissions with TFCon Online. We'll have a link here to his... I guess his commissions are closed, but he has some prints for sale. It looks like 12 different prints. He has a minimum order of 3 prints for $20. Beyond that, they're $7 each. So it's 3 for 20 and then $7 on top of that. The link here to the tweet will have all the information on what to do to order. And, orders are open until the end of the online convention on October 25th. So be sure to check that out. Some of these are ones he's had for a while. You can get like a print of the Killing Joke cover. There's that Lost Light image. That's like the Yellow Submarine homage. It's a bunch of great art. So check that out. And then also check out our interview with Simon Furman and just hear Charles squee like a little schoolboy.
School girl.
Well.
School person.
So anyway.
School child.
Squee like a little kid. It was a fun interview.
That I will agree to. All right. So let's finish up the show with a little bit of feedback. So we got a message on Twitter from one of our longtime Donatrions, Robin. Goes by Robinus Prime.
Robinus Prime.
One of Mike's favorite people because he is a big Empire of Rust fan. And Robin, he has some feedback for Daryl and Jeremy and Epic from last episode, Alt Mode 203. And he mentions you guys were discussing covers of photos of toys. And he says, for my 2 cents, I agree. A little more effort is required, but as a concept, I actually am really into them. And he's also into covers that look like toy packaging as well. So he has 3 examples. He shows the Death of Optimus Prime cover. That is a photo of the G1 Optimus Prime figure. But then he has two other covers, which are illustrations that mimic toy packaging. And Daryl, you had some issue with the examples he put up here.
Yeah, I guess. Apparently, I didn't understand that he had written that looked like toy packaging as well. So I replied to him that the toy packaging ones are variants and they're actually drawings. So, I mean, I don't know when when did I reply to this?
On Sunday.
Yeah. 3 p.m. I don't know. Maybe I was coming out of a nap at that point. I don't know. Maybe
you're still hungover from all of your leaf raking.
Yeah. Right. So yeah. So apparently he replied saying, I know that. And, yeah, so whatever. That's fine. My mistake. I'm man enough to admit it.
So being Canadian, it's just your natural posture to apologize.
There you go.
I do, but I mean, I do think it's weird that he put those two other covers, because I mean, your point was that you don't like the covers that are just photos of toys. And then he put the other covers, which are artist's renditions of toy packaging, which is a,
because it's, Charles, you're making the same mistake.
No, he says
he likes.
Yes. No.
He's also liking those. He's into those.
No, I see that. I understand that. But he put more examples of that than the thing that we were at, or that you guys were actually talking about. So even though he makes that distinction in the text, the impression is he's lumping them all together in the pictures. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Charles just went to bat for me. I'm gonna now stick by my retweet or my reply to. I get it. I mean, like I said in the show, I actually like the toy cover. It's not a lot of work, but it's still fun every now and then. If they did it all the time, then you know it would be a big pain in the ass. Then, but whatever, it's fun every now and then. You know. The whole series is based off the toy, so might as well give the toy a cover. With the Transformers being a toy, you know, toys will actually make appearances on the covers every now and then. So I remember it was that Megatron, the non-transforming Megatron was one of the ones in the last ongoing before. Before the shit, why can't I remember this one? It was the one that I think it was DaCosta wrote with Roberts there just before it broke up into two. I can't remember what number it was though. Just before Death of Optimus Prime, there was a variant with Megatron on it. Anyway, oh, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
there was a like, couple. It makes
it was TF-32 or something.
Yeah,
yeah. I just feel like it's lazy and it kind of takes away an opportunity for an artist to.
Sure, it does, but it doesn't happen very often.
Get their stuff. Yeah,
very rare that this actually that it happens. So, yeah, the ones that are the toy package variants, those were happening quite a lot last year. 2019, and like it was like the year of those toy package variants. Star Wars ones were rampant, like every single book.
Well, and now they've released a book of all the Star Wars ones. Mm-hmm. You can buy a book of just those covers.
Yeah. So yeah, they went pretty rampant. So yeah, I mean, to each his own, right? That's what the variants are for. So if you like it, buy it. If you don't, doesn't matter.
It was Transformers 31 with the Revoltech Megatron on it.
Right. That's the one. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the feedback we have. So that takes us to the end of this episode. We got to give our masterpiece Donatrion shout outs. And that is for our good friend and Donatrion, John 4X Levengood, our only masterpiece Donatrion. Thank you, John, for continuing to support us. And as we wrap it up, Mike, anything else you want to shout out or plug before we get out of here?
Well, of course, listen to Empire of Rust at transmissionspodcast.com/rust or in any of the podcast feeds. So definitely take a look at that. Put a lot of work into it. It is a great story, and it's only getting better. And if you'd like to take a look at some of the photography I've been getting into, go to Twitter or go to Instagram and look up at Minervion. That's MINERVION.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
I think we're going to jump right into our review. Or
okay. We can do that.
I think I made a mistake.
Apparently I closed my notes. So one second. I thought I had more time.
I'm sorry. I had a brain fart.
No, my fault. I meant to open it before the show.